Late nights and light cycles, gardens and grills, you are now tuned in to the Disneyholic Show.
Hello and welcome to the Disneyholic Show. That's Jen Diz.
And that's Mike TV.
Today I'm sharing my thoughts and observations from my recent trip working remotely from Walt Disney World, including my review of Moana's new water exhibit and what it's like to live in a treehouse for an entire week. What an exciting episode. Not only is this the start of some of our Patreon takeover topics, but it's one of those things where I'm back fresh from a trip, and it's one of those things we love to do when we see each other. It's just like, oh my God, how was it? What did you do? What did you see? So I have all the tea for you from my last week that I spent at Disney World.
Bring it.
Yeah. All right. So we do have some really fun Patreon topics that are going to fit perfectly into certain parts of this trip recap. So I'm going to start with something different than I did this time, which was I rented a car. And
yes, I remember us all thinking we probably needed one last time.
Yes. Okay. That's exactly it. We did two nights at the Treehouse Villas, I think last year. To sort of like check it out. And it is very remote. It's in the middle of nowhere, or it feels like it. They do a good job with that. But it's far enough from the main resort carriage house from Saratoga Springs, which is where you'd want to go to shop and get counter service. That is far away. You have to take a bus or drive or rent a bike or something. So pretty far. But we had great weather. Somehow it was just blue skies. It was cold but not rainy, so it was just right. But I love the Treehouse Villas. I really love it. It felt like living there for
yes,
the week.
It really does feel like, I think out of all the places we've stayed, that one felt most like a home.
Yes. Oh, it felt so homey and cozy. I was there solo for the first couple of nights, and then my sister and mom joined me. But as soon as I got there and was unpacking, I thought, oh, I'm definitely Wendell from Country Bears. We were talking about Country Bears on a recent episode and how Wendell is described as a homebody that's never home. And so I totally got it. I mean, I literally brought my everything. I brought my PlayStation with me. I set up shop just the same way I would back at home. And then I forgot, oh yeah, the parks are there. And Disney Springs is a boat ride across the lagoon. But the treehouse is so cozy that I was just happy to be there with Disney. And they also have that new Hey Disney sort of Alexa type device. So yeah, some new things.
Keeping you company in the treehouse.
Yes, I was asking it to tell jokes. Oh, and I was I was saying I love you, so I got Han Solo saying
I know.
Yep, love it. And then the other part about the first couple of days solo, I was trying to work from there. I worked the whole week because I didn't want to take any days off, and I wanted to see what that was like. But I had planned on working from Epcot because that is something that I've been seeing a lot on TikTok, and they designed the new sort of center area that connects the different neighborhoods of World Celebration, World Nature, World Showcase, and World Something Else. And those all go together, and then there's these really nice places to hang out, and it's shady, and there's plugs, and there's tables. And I was talking a lot of crap about it when I was seeing it, but then when I saw it in person, I get it. I totally get what they're trying to do. And I felt the presence of Walt Disney. I felt him there. I thought if he was here
That's all he wanted. A little city.
Yeah. If he was here in 2024 and just saw a couple people being able to use technology to work without being at a corporate office and do it in the middle of his prototype community of tomorrow, like that is exactly it. It's not the exact city he was hoping for, but now there's a space and it kind of looks like a really, really nice high-end sort of company campus, you know, like Apple or something, and not in a bad way at all, in a good way. Very modern. Each little neighborhood has its own distinct theme and feel. And then at nighttime, the entire thing transforms. It's lit so beautifully. Each little corner has its own lighting package. And in the center, there's all these other circular lights and tall light poles that sync with Spaceship Earth. So I'm here for it. I'm loving it. I got to see Walt's the Dreamer statue. Mm-hmm. And that was nice as well. They have a photo pass person there taking pictures. Would you consider working and bringing a full-on laptop into a theme park like Epcot?
Yeah, I've done it at Disneyland plenty of times.
Nice. So. Yeah.
And it wasn't as convenient at Disneyland. Like, you had to really pick and choose your spots. I would pick very, like, I was super aware of, like, if it's annoying for other people to see me on my laptop, I, like, don't want to, like, break their immersion either. So, I, like, go places that are really hidden away or somewhere in, like, a corner. But that seems like anywhere you sit in the area you're describing sounds like it looks like you're supposed to be doing that there.
Totally. It's perfect for the way that you want to do it that you just said. And there's even, like, some tucked away corner. So, I, like, just sat there, like, posting on Instagram and stuff for a good, like, 45 minutes. And it felt just so chill and relaxing. And then you're still in the middle of Epcot, so you have access to everything. I didn't actually go work from there, but I want to. I want to try it next time I'm there on a solo trip again. But that said, Epcot as a whole, the walls are down. You can walk straight past Spaceship Earth. It's been like 4 or 5 years where there are maze of walls and detours. And so it was so refreshing to finally just walk straight through the park into the center of the park. Granted, there's still one more corner of construction that they're working on for a character meet and greet, but I gotta say, Epcot is back. It's back officially. It's what it's supposed to be, and it doesn't feel as crazy and disconnected as it was for the past 5 years. And I would say it's officially now my favorite park again of all the Disney World parks. Yeah.
Okay. That's a big statement there.
It's such a good one. It has so many different things and has some of that Walt touch kind of all over it. Has his fingerprints all over it. And a lot of classics and new things. Speaking of classics, I was excited, my sister and I, to ride Figment because we were talking about him a lot, like leading up to getting on the attraction. And we took our time because it's never a line, right? So we went and did some other things. And then we were ready to ride Figment and it broke down like pretty much for the rest of the day. So it's very sad.
Oh, really?
But
it's Omnimover, you would think that yeah, really break down.
Should
that
be
much.
Easy. We were both pretty surprised. But then at night, I forgot that this existed. Figment has his own Festival of the Arts show. So this only happens during Festival of the Arts. And the whole Spaceship Earth and everything around it, all those new things that I described, that's all in sync. So you can stand anywhere in the middle to the ball and you'll have like a gorgeous view. And it's like a musical experience that syncs with the lights and he's singing and it has a new song or at least a song that I haven't heard, including the, you know, the Journey to Imagination song. Uh-huh. And it's so colorful and it's so Figment and we're wearing purple and it hit the spot. We're like,
cute.
Okay, here we go.
So you got your Figment. Fill of Figment.
We got our fill of Figment.
Did you try to meet and greet with him?
We did not, because that would have been, yeah, I guess we could have gone through the exit. That in my mind was something we would do after the ride.
Womp, womp, oh, yeah. I wonder womp. If they even had that open, though. Who knows? Maybe true. They close that whole true. Thing off. I have to go meet him next time I go out there. It's very cute.
Yes. Speaking of Figment, it is Patreon takeover topic, and we have a yes. related one.
We do. This one came from Jessica. And she's asking us, what is your best pitch for a ride featuring Figment? Because we all know that poor thing needs a new ride. So yes. Let's give him one. What is, you want to go first?
You go first.
Okay. So I'm going to name my ride Imagination Meets Innovation.
Ooh, right? Okay.
And we're going to embrace Epcot here. So Figment is very Epcot. Epcot is edutainment. Like, and then all the things that go along with Disney parks in general is Disney history, right? So we love all of the above. So we're going to put this all into this one dark ride that I am creating here. And the whole idea of the attraction is that we're going to make a dark ride that is very entertaining and what's the word I'm looking for?
Edutaining?
Edutaining is good. Yeah. Like, that's not a real word, but let's make it one right now. Okay, edutaining. And so picture yourself in this, like, Omnimover system. So we're going to keep it similar, but maybe change it to... Actually, I just changed my mind. We're going to do a trackless ride instead. Because those feel like Omnimovers, but they aren't.
Yeah.
We can do so much more. So let's throw out the old, this is an innovative ride, has to be a little more future focused. Let's get up to where we are today. So we are moving into trackless ride system, and we are going to go through the history of Disney innovation, but it's going to be Figment telling us the story. So he's going to kind of fly along with us. There are going to be screens. What? Blasphemy. No screens. Just kidding. There are definitely going to be some, but it's just to like show us some of the actual footage and videos and photos and whatnot of all of these things coming to fruition. I know there's a lot of really cool videos of Imagineers working on things like the multi-plane camera, et cetera, et cetera. So we kind of want to see those, but there's still going to be a lot of forefront things going on that keep us entertained that aren't just the screens. So it's going to be this whole interactive thing. Okay, so we got our trackless ride, our look of our ride. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 rooms we're going to go through.
Ooh, 5 rooms, okay.
And I picked 5 innovations that Disney created, like inventions Disney created, and we are going to really embrace those. So one is Technicolor. So that's like perfect to kick off Figment, because Figment is like a big rainbow, basically, right? Like,
aww,
he's so colorful,
he is.
His ride is colorful, he's like full of imagination. So I want this like car to drive into this pitch black room and you don't know what's going on, and slowly you can hit that same sound thing you did again.
Oh, give you some chimes here.
There it goes. You can have like lights, like little sparkly lights start lighting up as you're hearing about Technicolor. And then all of a sudden, bam, the whole room turns into like bright colors, vivid rainbows, and just all sorts of color, and bringing in those old cartoons into part of it that we can see when Technicolor first started. So we're going to learn all about Technicolor, and we're really going to be just overwhelmed with color in this room. And then we're going to move into Fantasound, which was like the predecessor of surround sound, right? So it's kind of the first time we were getting Fantasound.
I don't even know what that is. I don't think I've heard of that.
Oh, this was around Fantasia. So it's called Fantasound. And I'm not sure if Disney created the 4K. Is it called 4K? No, 4D. Do you know if Disney created that or if people are already doing that?
I guess like it depends which version of it. Oh, I see.
Extra stuff that go along with visual, that extra sense.
They probably popularized it, but it's got to have existed in some way, right?
Maybe. I mean, I thought most of this stuff also existed.
Because you remember like those old school, this is way before our time, but they used to do things like in movie theaters for like those pulp horror movies. They would do all kinds of weird 3D and smells and I don't know.
Right. I don't think I know about that, but I want to know about that. I do want to know about that. It's very interesting and very cool. So we're going to have a room where we see Fantasia and we get to see it as if it's like that first time seeing it in a movie theater, where we get to hear what it would be like without Fantasound. And then they could surprise us with bringing in Fantasound and see how that looks, or not looks, because there's nothing to look here. It's all sound, right? So you get to hear how it sounds so different and how it fills the room and comes at you from different angles. And then we're going to do the 4D thrown in there too, because they did do that with Fantasia. We get some stuff coming in, maybe throw the water, get some scents going, whatever it is that will match with the scenes that we pick from Fantasia. So that'll be our Fantasound room. And then we are going to check out the multi-plane camera. I was going to leave this for the end, but I feel like there's a better grand finale, I guess. So we're going to do the multi-plane camera next. And instead of like simply showing us a multi-plane camera, because I've always seen one like at the Walt Disney Family Museum and in documentaries, it's like from the floor to the ceiling, right? It's like really tall. This one's actually going to be on its side, so we can ride our car right through it and literally see what, like, we would be the camera lens.
Oh,
and we can see how that's multi-plane cool. camera works.
That's very
And again,
cool.
I want all of these rooms to show us what these things looked like before and after. Like, this is the furthest we had come before the multi-plane camera and how that blew people's mind. I often, like, daydream about, like, what it must have been to see the first time I've ever seen multi-plane camera without knowing that something like that could exist, right? So wow. That just must be mind-blowing. So it's getting us as close as we can to reliving that. So that would be part of the ride. And then we would have a Pixar room because we have to bring in some of the acquisitions Disney has done throughout the years. And that was a huge development. CGI, right? Bringing in all of this Pixar animation innovations and go through kind of what they have done that we have kind of absorbed in Disney. I mean Disney.
I mean, they were so smart to buddy up with Pixar and invest in Pixar when Toy Story was coming around. And, right. You know, they're the ultimate winners.
Yes, totally. And then finally, the big final room is, can you think of anything that Disney has created that I have not discussed yet?
So many things. Animatronics?
Animatronics.
Okay.
So the final room is going to be the audio animatronic room, and we're going to see the creation of that from... what was his name? Was like the Dancing Man or something? He had a name. It might have been the Dancing Man, but if it wasn't, you guys know what I'm talking about. If you know, it's like the very first figuring that out situation, all the way up to Lincoln and to where we are today. So like the whole thing, and that is going to be a little bit of a museum feel too, because we are going to put some real retired animatronics in that room that are sitting in archives or something somewhere. So we can not only get a chance to revisit some of our favorite audio animatronics, but give them a job again. Like, get them back to work. You know, they're just sitting getting rusty up. Let's see it. If we saw, you know, they show those, like, caveman drawings, like the progression of the humankind.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
More bent over walking, and standing up straight.
And then back to old. Whoops.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I want to see that with audio animatronics in this room. So we're going to have a lot of actual audio animatronics out. We're going to hear the history. Figment is going to fly through the air and teach us about each and every single one of these animatronics and what that meant for Disney parks. And that's it.
I like that a lot. It hits all the things I know you would totally die for if you're on that ride.
No, I'm very selfish in these ride designs.
Hey, that's what armchair Imagineering is all about. I really like that. In fact, ours are so similar that I'm probably going to just kind of piggyback on some of it.
Okay.
For the Figment attraction that I imagined up. So similar. Yeah. Trackless. Starting inside. Ooh, starting inside.
Okay.
And it is meant to take you through the evolution of Imagineering. Okay. And I was hoping some of the areas would have animatronics of some of your favorite Imagineers in it, especially ones of yesteryear that have passed already. And Figment should always be throughout the museum drive-through gallery thing, like on the shoulders of these Imagineers, a little Figment, inspiring them. Yeah, yeah. Making him back to being a little small, little dragon. And so you'd go through all that. You'd learn about Imagineering, see some of these concepts come to life. They should probably sprinkle in a whole bunch of Epcot extinct attractions for nostalgia.
Yes, please. Be great. Little snaps to that.
And then the grand reveal, it leaves the building from the second or third story. And this is now sort of a people mover that goes around all of what used to be Future World. And so Figment narrates now on the audio, sort of like imagine a people mover, but on a trackless elevated track. And Figment is going to tell you all about these four neighborhoods and how they were imagined up by Imagineers. So World Celebration, World Nature. It's a nice way to get a preview oh, yeah, I want to go to that Moana thing. Oh, I want to ride Test Track when we get off of this ride. Oh, I forgot about World Showcase. So trying to add that... sort of kinetic thing that stops at the monorail and keep it moving forward through Epcot, like something always moving, and you get to ride it. And so it would start out inside, go outside, give you a tour of Epcot, And yeah, all about imagination.
I love it. That's the part I forgot to add, is just wrapping up with like some big like self-motivation, teaching kids the right things about like using your imagination, which the original Figment attraction also really embraced. Ooh. And the current one. It's like, you know, you can build all this all right out of your imagination.
And you know what? Why not, instead of a gift shop and instead of the current Imagination Center by Kodak or whatever it is, change that to Blue Sky Cellar. So you empty out and you get to see what they're working on.
It's very smart. I love that.
Oh, and
I love it.
Gee, we love Figment. Adorbs.
We do. At first, I was just going to be like, I just want to give him back his old ride.
I was trying to figure out how to add Dreamfinder. There was one iteration of this imaginary armchair, imagineering a Figment that I thought I would love a live actor Dreamfinder on every vehicle, the way the Great Movie Ride used to be.
Great Movie Ride,
yeah. But I was like, ooh, that's a lot. It's a lot of work.
I mean, they pulled it off one time.
Right.
Oh, but all those little truckless ones?
Yeah.
Like four people, and you're like...
Yeah. Yeah, at least the other one was like that giant Ellen. No, that I'm thinking of Ellen's. I guess it was more like Runaway Railway, right? And that fit tons of people on a long kind of train.
True.
But yeah, hopefully we'll get some Figment updates pretty soon. But that was a fun question from Jessica.
Yes,
Thank you.
Thanks, Jessica.
So back to the glory of Epcot. Now that's kind of back into its glory days. It's almost like two different parks. So my sister and I were talking, and what we ended up doing was we did World Showcase for one day, and then we did the front half of the park for another day. And by day, I mean like 4 to 6 hours. Like that's what we were kind of doing. That was like our vibe. My mom was with us, so she's older. We don't want to have her walking too much. And that worked out perfectly because we did the World Showcase sunset to close. And it was all about like eating and shopping and then the culmination of the brand new Luminous show. So we had a spot for that. And it was like one fun day at this park. And then we're like, oh, shoot, there's still a whole other part of the park. And then we did that the next day. And it felt completely different, especially now that it's mostly completed up front. It was more of that futuristic and edutainment. So we did the Seas with Nemo, and we did Spaceship Earth and Test Track. And of course, Cosmic Rewind. And then there's the brand new Journey of Water, inspired by Moana. So I will say, we ended up doing that one, the second Epcot visit, and we did it at night. Gorgeous. This walkthrough is so pretty. And this is another one where I'm going to eat my shorts. I don't know what the term is, but I was also talking crap about this Moana walkthrough.
Yeah, right, when I had a big gulp of water.
Journey of Water. Yeah, I was like, what is this water walkthrough? But here's the thing. It is very Epcot. It's so Epcot. And if they have to put IP in, this is going to be the way to do it. So it's very clear that it's inspired by Moana. So her and the characters via signage are the ones explaining to you the different cycles of water. And I remembered as a kid, I actually loved that particular part of science where you got to put the ice, right? Yep. And then you got to make your own clouds and your own ecosystem and fog. And so it's very much that you learn about water and the earth and every type of body of water and then how it evaporates, turns into clouds, rain, ocean, waves. Like there's a station for each of those things. Very interactive. So the water does lots of cool things depending on what station you're at. There's plenty of space. So let's say you want to wave your hands through the streams of water and play the harp chords. It plays like music.
Oh, yeah.
Very pretty. I want to say there was maybe like 6 or 7 of them. Versus sometimes with these interactive things at Epcot, there's 2 and you have to like wait for the kids to finish. Mm-hmm. But there was plenty of room. We didn't have to even wait to get into it. You just walk right in. At least this was my experience. You know, it's been out for a little bit. And it was just so nice. And you kind of can get lost, which we always like that too, where you don't really know exactly where you're going. It kind of guides you, but you can go different ways. And then every now and then there's a dry path for someone who doesn't want to get even a little droplet of water. You don't get wet unless you want to, but there are dry paths if you don't even want to get near like the mist or the jumping fountains. Very good. The jumping fountains nod to old Epcot. I love it because it reminds me. Yep,
100%.
It reminds me exactly of that. So these Imagineers had Figment on their shoulders when they were making this because
that's cute.
It's Epcot.
That's very cute.
It's new Disney. It's new technology. It's all the things. And at the end, you get to see what's her face. I already forgot her name. I was going to say Queen Nefertiti, but that's not her name.
Oh, not Moana.
Not Moana. The
I was like, how'd you
the big
that?
The goddess made of leaves. Half
shoot.
Villain, half good person.
But if you hadn't said Nefertiti, I would have remembered it. That's all I can think about.
Our listeners are screaming. They're like,
ah. All of them, every single last one, and I don't blame you because I would be too. Like,
so you get to see her, and it's pretty, and there's a really nice photo op, and it works so well with the spaceship Earth in the background. There's a ton of spots in the Moana walkthrough where if you're facing Spaceship Earth, it's just beautiful. Like, it's just like, A-W-E.
Do you recommend people visiting to try their best to have their first experience be at nighttime in Moana?
I would say so. I would say that whole front of Epcot seems like it was designed for nighttime. Because even that, like, neighborhood area didn't come to life as much until it was nighttime. It's just like, oh, my God, it's so pretty. But, yeah, the Moana walkthrough was longer than I thought. There's plenty to do. And it fits in nicely with that whole area. So I guess it depends on how you do Epcot. So for us, we, like, purposely decided to tell our own story. Nerds. So we did, we planned it so that we rode Living with the Land and then had dining reservations at Garden Grill, which was my first time there. So we got to see it. It's actually really good food. I wasn't sure how that is. And it spins around, that restaurant rotates so you can see Living with the Land go by. And when you're on Living with the Land, they tell you that some of the vegetables and plants will be served in that restaurant above. So then you go and eat at that restaurant. Really good food. They had mac and cheese, steak chimichurri, like turkey, like holiday style turkey. Love that. Mashed potatoes, green beans, really good cornbread.
Some good comfort food.
Really good comfort food. Something for everybody. I was avoiding that restaurant for a while because I thought it was healthy because of the name, which is pretty dumb. And then I also thought it was a buffet. Because it's called All You Can Enjoy, All You Care to Enjoy. But it's more like the, like Ohana or...
Yeah, like Topolino's or something where they just keep
bringing it. And they bring small enough portions so you don't feel bad if you ask for more and can't finish the next one. So we were really big fans of this. And then to top it all off, you're just sitting there and rotating. My ultimate... goal in life, like not having to move, everything comes to you. And then as you're rotating,
like, you just move me around.
Just move me around.
Move myself around.
Guess who came to the table? Chip came to the table. Dale came to the table.
Ooh.
Pluto came to the table with
So it's a character dining.
It's a character dining. Yep. I wasn't expecting that either. My sister and I knew Chip and Dale would be there because we've seen him from Living with the Land. We've seen them up above. But we thought that was it and we were going to be happy with that. But then Pluto came by and he had a special like farmer collar on. It was a special collar. And then Mickey came by. And he had like overalls, like denim overalls and like a farmer plaid shirt. It was so cute. It was so cute. And we were so...
We need to see those pictures. Did you post those online?
I haven't yet, but I will post them.
I need
them.
To see those costumes.
I thought they were the cutest things. And we were so frazzled because we were like eating and they come up to your table and it's kind of like a booth. And we didn't know what to do. So we just kept like, when they would come by, we would just wave and talk to them. And they would like rub their bellies and point at our food and stuff, fun stuff like that. And then luckily they come around one more time toward the end of your rotation. It takes about 1 hour for the whole restaurant to spin. And
you only go around one time?
Only go around one. And
I figured you'd probably go around at least like 10 times while you're eating. I do know it's very slow because I had to like... really freeze myself to stare at it long enough to see if it's even moving. I was like, I thought that was a spinning restaurant. I'm like, wait, it is.
I gotta say, I thought it was spinning slow, but when you're sitting there and the edge is on your peripheral, it's a little bit sickening. nauseous.
Oh, shoot.
Just
really?
A little bit. And like, my mom is the person who would get the most nauseous, and she was fine. But it was making me, for some reason, like, I just kept seeing it.
Were you sitting backwards, maybe?
I think so. Actually, I think so. On that side of the booth. And
That's funny. It
looks faster when you're seeing it up that close sitting, but it is very slow. She told us it's about 1 hour for the full rotation and 1 hour for you to probably be done enjoying all you can eat or whatever. Right. So, so that worked out. All the characters came by a second round. And so this time we took pictures with them. My sister was like, I need a picture with Pluto. You have to. And so we made sure we took pictures. And highly recommend that Garden Grill right there in the Land Pavilion. So hey. Here we are.
Well, will you revisit with me sometime?
Absolutely. Especially for the characters. Like, those are the best when you're just there and they just come by. And right. It's just, yeah, it's like you. Personal and private. So there was a fun Epcot, like, edutainment story. We did Living with the Land, learned about the land and the farming and all that. And then we ate at the restaurant and then we left the restaurant, went to the seas with Nemo to visit my dolphin friends. I got to say hello to the dolphin friends. And now my sister's obsessed with it. She has her manatee friends. So now we have to go see her manatee friends.
Oh my God.
I see my dolphin friends. But the manatees were sleeping by the time we got there. Sorry about it. But the dolphins were awake. We didn't even ride the Nemo shell. We just went straight to the aquarium, which is a tip you could do if you don't want to ride the actual Nemo ride. And then from there, we went to Journey of Water inspired by Moana. So those four things, as intended, like in the land discovery or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it's called now. Land showcase, world land. I don't know. But it all made sense. It all was like about the land and the water and the planet and the ecosystem. And very, very seamless. So good job, Imagineers.
Nice.
On nailing the Moana thing. Of course, it didn't need to take, 4 years? That's my only gripe. I don't know if it was worth all the walls that we had to deal with.
Yeah, true.
But
how long, with your style of looking through there, where you'll like actually read the things and whatnot instead of running through it like some people will, how long do you think you spent inside the Moana space?
I'll say probably a minimum of 15 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. And then probably add another 10 minutes if you decide to wait for the photo pass up, mm-hmm. which is at the very end with Nefiti. No, I still don't know her name.
Oh my God.
But yeah, she's there. She's there. Larger than life. Cool. So Moana. What else? Okay. So of course we did Cosmic Rewind at some point that same day. And we actually wrote it twice that day. And this story comes with a tip on being nice.
Okay.
Let's start at the beginning. We're entering the front of Epcot for day two of Epcot to do the front of the park. And it was pandemonium. First of all, this whole week was packed everywhere. It was very crowded.
Oh, really?
Not loving that. But the weather was nice, so it helped. I have no idea.
It's weird.
I know MegaCon started on the weekend, but that was already at the tail end. It was crowded before that. Huh. So anyways, it was very crowded. So we were entering the park at about, I want to say maybe 3 p.m. And we were going to do like 3 to 11. Like that was our plan. Or 3 till we were dropped, until we were done. Because we didn't stay till 11. We were tired. But we got in and parked, took the tram, and then the monorail came in. And it was just one of those moments where the whole entrance to Epcot was just full of people. And they only had two security lanes open, like the single file line to walk through that thing.
Yeah.
And it just, everyone was just upset. Before you could even walk up there, they were upset because it was confusing. And it didn't help that the security cast members who do wear their security outfit, they were in TSA mode. I felt like we're at the airport. Like, they're yelling at the top of their lungs. They weren't nice. They're like single file. And that just agitated more people because then you saw like other families upset and their dads saying stuff like, why don't you open up another lane? Why is there only two lanes? And no one knew where to stand to even get into this snaking line that was all the way back to the monorail. And that was just security. And then Epcot always has this funny thing. You walk in and they always make you enter completely on the other side of where you just walked through security, which just doesn't make sense. There's probably some operational reason, but on paper, it doesn't make any sense because you're crossing through the people exiting. And then it's just more confusing because you can't find everything says exit only. And you're like, wait, how do I enter? So now you have this whole crowd going over to the check-in turnstile tapping things, which there are only like maybe four open. So then that line was backed up to security. It was just a mess. Probably took us like 30 minutes to get in. Shouldn't have. It was an afternoon. It wasn't opening. So our mom had to use the bathroom. And I was like, all right, I'm going to share some feedback. You know, I love to share feedback. So I went over to guest relations and just very nicely told the cast member, I was like, hey, I just wanted to share some feedback about the security experience this afternoon when we were entering. And I just told him matter-of-factly like what I observed and what I witnessed. And he's like, thank you for telling me. We've had issues with security. I'm going to make sure the security supervisor hears of this. He also wanted to keep making sure that I wasn't talking about the cast members who are not security. He kind of clarified that a few times. I was just like, okay, he wants to make sure his group is not getting in trouble. Like, I was like,
the ones that are checking your tickets
versus
the people who are...
Yeah, once you got to the proper cast member outfits, back to smiles and being nice, even though it was crowded and busy, they were nice about it. Where security wasn't, I told him, I was like, it felt like TSA. I was like, that was jarring walking into Epcot like that. And he's like, thanks for the feedback. And I promise you, I wasn't really expecting anything. I just wanted to share it. He ends up giving us a walk-on to Cosmic Rewind.
Nice.
And we didn't get the 7 a.m. We tried at 7 a.m. and it was booked within half a second. So we didn't get that.
Wow.
We did buy a lightning lane for that later that night. So we had one guaranteed. But he gave us this walk-on just to be nice. And so that means we got to ride it twice. And then he gave us just a bunch. I think two other Lightning Lane walk-ons, to the point where we didn't even use it because we were just kind of casually doing Epcot.
Oh my
god! And we did. There was one point where we were like, do we want to walk all the way to Remy's Adventure Ratatouille? And we're like, no. Even for a walk-on, we're like, no, we're doing World Showcase one day and the front of the park this day. But yeah, be nice. Don't yell at them. It's not the cast member's fault, but they will take your feedback and pass it to the right people. And sometimes you'll get a little surprise. They'll help you out, but just be nice to them, please.
Yes, definitely be nice. And you're right. Like sometimes, like, I mean, this happens all the time in workspaces. Like, you know, when, like the typical thing people complain about like the hierarchy at work of people from like up at the top telling people at the bottom what to do, and it doesn't make any sense.
Yes.
Like, sometimes people don't share that, how it doesn't make sense. So, like, maybe if guests aren't speaking up, then they don't really realize it's affecting your day in the way that it is. So, as long as you're not being a jerk, just say something. And it might help. It might not do anything. And it's
exactly.
Fine. Like, either way. But, like, you know, it's like kind of those guest surveys they send out all the time. If you're not getting one, maybe you should just help and tell them.
Just go and say hello to them.
Unsolicited feedback.
The people that work at, whether it's City Hall, Chamber of Commerce, or Guest Relations, those people are made to be on their front lines, and they want to talk to you and ask you questions and smile along the way. So that's the best place.
Yeah, and sometimes they'll even ask you, like, I've been like just hanging out. Like one time I was at the Frontierland, actually is it considered, I think it's Adventureland. Yeah, the Adventureland restrooms, waiting for a friend in the restroom. And a cast member just came up to me and started just asking me about how my day's going, and like it was literally getting feedback from me.
Yeah.
So like they're out seeking it anyway. So it doesn't hurt.
Love it. Love the cast members.
Yes.
All right. So what other new things were there? Luminous. Luminous is the new Lagoon show at World Showcase. And so on our World Showcase night, we got a nice spot, which I don't usually do for Epcot shows. You could really see this particular show from anywhere, which is great, especially compared to Harmonious before it. But we did stop and get like a nice spot along somewhere between, I think, Norway and Mexico, and just waited about 20 minutes, and it was worth it. Got a nice clear view of everything. And this show, it has my heart. I wasn't expecting it to, but there's a couple things that went into it. So before I even went to Disney World this trip, I had come across a TikTok video where it's a couple, two men, and they're kind of younger. They look like they're maybe in their 30s. And one of them is the songwriter for the main theme song that plays. And I suppose when you work with Disney, a lot of this stuff, especially remote, just happens over email and transactionally. So this was the first time he actually saw it within everything it's supposed to be in. And he's just like bawling. And the boyfriend or the husband's like hugging him, and you could see the pride in the boyfriend's face. And then the parents were behind them, and it was just, it's such a beautiful video seeing this. And then the song is so good. So that already got me, and I'm not even at Epcot yet. That's just on TikTok. And so then I go to watch the actual thing, and when that song comes on, you feel it. And it's a really good song. It's just, it's like tying us all together. It's what Epcot World Showcase is supposed to do, where it's all about us being people and we work together and music ties us. You know, sure, the world's a shitty place sometimes, but it's nice to have that moment and just, oh, just like smile and be happy about it. And it feels very Epcot. So it even starts with the word welcome in every language that there's a pavilion for, and a big cannon firework thing shoots from that pavilion as it says it.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That's really smart, because then they could like tie it into Epcot directly and have this inclusivity kind of touch to it. That's really cool. I like
exactly.
That.
It was very World Showcase. It seems like a better sequel to whatever was there in the old days that I actually didn't like, with that big globe that would open up like a lotus flower or something. I never really liked that, but it has a huge fan base. So I'm not hating. It's just, I didn't grow up with that, so I didn't care for it. But this one is just really good. Has some original songs, and then it has some different takes of other songs. At one point, there's a moment where everyone, if you don't cry, you are just a cold soul. So it's like all happy stuff and about peace on earth. And then it goes to this moment where everything turns dark and red. All the lights are red. And it says something like, I'm just paraphrasing, like the narrator says, like, in life, we also experience grief. And I'm already like, oh my God, what are they doing to me? Why are they talking about
this? Why are we going down this road?
And it's just like, it's so melancholy. And then it plays the song from Toy Story 2 for Jessie, When She Loved Me. That real slow.
I don't know if I'm familiar with that enough.
Okay, I'm not going to sing it. And then it mashes up seamlessly with Remember Me.
That's what
dead.
I was thinking of, yeah.
Dead. I already have goosebumps. Out. And then the two songs come together and they mash up, and then it talks about, like, you know, living in the moment and people who are here, and then it gets back to Celebratory. It was just so good. It was so emotional. Very Epcot. Well done. I think this one they can keep around for quite a while. Luminous.
Oh, good.
The
good.
Story okay. of us.
It's supposedly like a nice... It's like what we kind of wanted out of the last one, I heard, right?
Yes, I would say that for sure.
That's good.
Wow. So yeah, Epcot is on and popping. There's one more thing that was sort of our kiss goodnight. It was our very last night at Disney World and our last night at Epcot. And we're heading out of the park a little bit early. We didn't stay till close. It was like maybe 9:30 and we're tired. And all of a sudden, we're between Spaceship Earth and then the exit toward the parking lot. And everything went dark. So we're like, oh, is this the Figment show again? So we're going to keep walking. And we turned around and all of a sudden Kermit is singing Rainbow Connection.
Aww.
And we're just upset. Not upset. We're sad again. Not sad. You know what I mean? We're getting the feels all over again. Yeah. We're like, what? It was so sweet. They played the whole song. There was a Miss Piggy verse. And then there was some other like Disney choral verse. And then the whole ball turns like a rainbow stripe, like an actual rainbow was projected on. It was just so pretty.
Aww,
and unexpected.
I want to
and it,
see that.
It was so nice. It felt like a goodnight kiss for the weenie, for us leaving.
Right.
And we also kind of had like a Muppets trip, because we talked about the Muppets a lot for whatever reason. And we even watched Muppet Vision 3D at Hollywood Studios at one point, which I don't always go to stop to see. And so I'm kind of glad we did. We skipped Animal Kingdom, and we decided up front we're just going to do Epcot, Hollywood, and Magic Kingdom. Totally fine about it. Not mad about it at all. I don't feel like I missed anything.
Enough, yeah.
Yeah.
Skip it.
Which sucks, because at one point I thought I would say that was my favorite park. I think it's really well done, but I don't need to do anything there. Like, I don't have to, right?
It needs more.
A little more.
It's just not enough to do.
It does. And Avatar Pandora, like, so kind of played out. It is gorgeous. Gorgeous. What else? Okay, so we went to see Muppets at Hollywood Studios. Ate at Mama Melrose, which is an Italian restaurant tucked in the corner of what's called Grand Avenue, which is the Muppets area. And so we noticed after riding the Muppets ride or seeing the Muppet show that the huge Muppet store that's right outside of it, Studio Store, is closed. And I think last time you and I were there, it was closed. And it's just always been closed for years. So I decided to look it up while we were eating at Mama Melrose. And whole can of worms for another episode. It's an iceberg. But there was supposed to be a ton more that were things that were going to be developed for the Muppet area. And essentially, long story short, Jim Henson passed away. And the estate of Jim Henson and Disney were disagreeing on what to do with that land. And so they just dropped it entirely, left what was there. And then Mama Melrose was supposed to be this fun restaurant with the Swedish chef. And he was going to be all kinds of special effects were going to be happening while you eat. And like Gonzo and the rooster ladies would be coming out from the ceiling vents or over your table. You're supposed to have all this stuff. But because of the issues with the family, they just made up this random thing called Mama Melrose. And she has her own backstory. So even though they had to replace the Muppets with this random theme, I'm always happy when they come up with a backstory.
Yeah.
So there's this person named Mama Melrose, which she got a nickname from because she moved from Italy after being trained on how to make Italian food at her papa's restaurant. And then she moved to Hollywood to become a movie star. Was not working out for her. So instead, she started cooking Italian food for people in the back lot of big movie studios. And then they ended up giving her her own restaurant in the back lot where the Muppets were.
Cute!
Yes, full on story for that place. And so I really appreciated that they did that.
Is it a counter service restaurant or is it like a regular restaurant?
Where you table service, so you'll need to make a dining reservation. No problem getting one. Like, nobody knows about it. It was still fairly full.
I don't remember even hearing about it, so.
Right. And there's plenty of cool restaurants at Hollywood Studios, and I could see why this could fall to the bottom. But the food was good. It was like Olive Garden.
Okay.
Which is not good, not bad. It is what it is. It did the job. But it's all about the atmosphere. You go in there, and it's like kitschy Hollywood, also an Italian restaurant, so it has like those portraits, black and white, of celebrities and all kinds of props hanging from the ceiling and sort of like string lights. You could tell that there was a story there, even if you didn't Google and read the story, you could tell there was some thought put into it. And then we were going around trying to guess all the people in the photos. And what we ended up learning was all the people in the photos were actual stars that used to be in a parade when MGM Studios first opened. The idea was every day there was a parade, and Michael Eisner said every day there needs to be at least one celebrity in the park for this to be Hollywood Studios.
Oh.
So they had someone on deck. Every day there was someone who would be in the parade, someone famous.
Oh, yeah, and they used to have the studios there, so they could probably just yank someone, right?
Totally. Yeah, Golden Girls was being produced around the corner, Mickey Mouse Club, some movies. Apparently, that only lasted 1 year, and they scrapped it. But everyone who was there,
365 famous people, yeah. So...
And there you go. Those are the people who are featured in the restaurant. Who did the thing, they signed their little autograph, and then you could see some of them have... You see the picture of them in the parade. But that's a pretty cool concept, and I wouldn't mind if they try to do something like that again. That really sets it apart from, like, other theme parks. It's like, no, we really have a famous person here.
Is very unique. I never knew that either. So that's like another random Disney fact.
Yeah, Disney World. I've never stepped foot into MGM when it was MGM. It had already converted.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Old times. Still a Disneylander here, as much as I love Disney World. You know, I even my sister and I kept getting confused in Magic Kingdom, which always happens. We're like turning left to go to Haunted Mansion after exiting Liberty Square instead of to the right. We're like, ah.
Yeah, like go around the bend, right? You're like, wait, where are we going? Splash Mountain? Big Thunder? What's going on?
Right, just around the river bend. We got to see Tiana construction going on. But yeah, there was so many more new things than I expected, especially going along with a couple people who haven't been in only a year. We were here a year ago and there was already new stuff. So we got on Tron, Magic Kingdom, Tron Light Cycle Run, you know, one of the newest, biggest e-tickets. I already gave you my review, I think last year when it first opened. I don't love it. It doesn't even crack my top 10 of rides or coasters, but it's really cool. It's really innovative. I just think it's pretty short. And the dark ride portion is a little cheap looking. So I didn't say anything to my mom and sister. I wanted their fresh take. And so if anything, I kind of hyped it up a little bit because I was like, yeah, we're going to get on the new one. And when we're on People Mover, I was like, look, 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 that's the one we're going to go on. We have a virtual queue for later on tonight. And so when we got on there, I first went to the vehicle demo things where you can try out the chair or the motorcycle because I was worried about my mom. Okay, 75-year-old, right? Is that the right math? Yeah, I think she's about 75. And this is a very complicated ride vehicle. So I wanted to make sure that she understood how it worked. And you have to like hunch forward. It's a motorcycle. This thing comes down on your back and you have to grab these handlebars, pull them forward. It's a whole thing. So we did that at the test station. And so I'm glad we did that. And then we get on the actual ride. And my sister was like, why are we crossing the tracks? So even she noticed that it was weird that to load onto...
Oh, that's right. I remember you talking about
that. It's the strangest thing. To load onto the motorcycle, if you're on one certain side of the coaster, you have to walk across the actual track and car and then hop on that way. It's hard to explain unless you see it. It's very off-putting, but it's safe. That's just the way they load it. But we also noticed that it makes loading so much longer. Luckily, they have two stations. But just to get one car like settled and everybody calm and locked in, it takes a while, maybe twice as long as a regular coaster because it's very complicated. So we get on the ride and then it's a fun ride. We get to the end and my mom goes, that's it? She turns to me, she's like, that's it? And I thought she would be so scared. Like I didn't think she would want to go any longer. Anyways, granted that she said
that's so cute.
We ended up asking her at the end of the whole trip, we're like, well, what's your favorite ride currently? And she said Tron. She still thinks she loves it. And I think
so did she go on Cosmic Rewind?
She did. And this would have been her second time. Not her favorite. She gets a little nauseous. So she got on the ride the first time and then not the second time, which happened on our last trip. She did one and didn't go with us on the Encore. So I guess there's a very slim amount of people that do get a little bit nauseous, and she is one of them. So it wasn't fun for her. But she loved Tron, and I think it was mostly because of the vehicle. It's so cool and unique.
Yeah.
And she doesn't know how to ride a bike. She's never ridden a bike.
Oh, this is like her first time riding a bike in a way, too. Yep. Oh, that's cute.
It was like the closest thing she's ever had.
Go,
so,
Mom. 75.
There you go. So
bucket lists off.
You know, if you haven't been on it yet, definitely check it out just for the innovation of it. It's very unique and it's cool. And hopefully it's just the beginning of these type of rides. It'd be nice. And then her second favorite is Slinky Dog. Loves Slinky Dog. She loves it. And I like it too. The more I ride it, especially at night, it climbs up my list of favorite attractions.
Yeah, it's a good ride for what it is, right? It could be like whatever, but it's actually really fun.
Yeah, it's smooth. You get pretty views of Galaxy's Edge at the top of the lift. Mm-hmm. And it's long enough. It has that second launch, which some of the rides don't always have.
Right.
What else did we do? Oh, okay. So we did a Surrey bike around Saratoga Springs, which is always fun. This time it was me, my sister driving, my mom in the back. We crash into a bush. It's harder to drive the bigger vehicle. You and I, when we did it at Boardwalk, it was just the two-seater.
Yeah.
With a four-seater, it's very hard to turn, but still a lot of fun. No one else was doing it. We did it. It was like 30, $26 for about a half hour or something. It was just exactly what we needed. We went to Disney Springs, ate at Paddlefish, which I have not been before. Really good views if you get a window table. And the food is good too. It's seafood, and then they have like some other options that you'd see at like a seafood place, like some steak and some pasta. Mm-hmm. And the live music at Disney Springs gave us life. It was, it's so nice, right? Yeah. You know, and I know you love that too. Like the live entertainment at Disney parks in general, it's so underrated. Mm-hmm. And you don't even have to get on rides. You just enjoy the music and you sit down and it's
better than cruise musicians.
It's way, way better than cruise musicians. So I got to give a shout out.
No offense if anybody's a cruise magician. I love you. I almost said magician. Musician.
I'm going to give a shout out to rock star. His name is Dre C. And he was so good. He was singing all the tunes. He was singing everything from Harry Styles to old school, like 80s songs, something for everyone in the family. And so we just sat down at that Disney Springs Amphitheater with a hot chocolate from Ghirardelli. And we just enjoyed, like, it was like a free concert. We were there for about 30 minutes. And so highly recommend that. There's several venues there where there's live music, but that we decided to stay at the one with the guy, Dre C. Love him. He was good. I was also talking up Gideon's because my sister was craving like cookies.
You were talking up Gideon's?
Not for me. Because she was like,
"Oh, presses! Hold the presses, you guys. What is happening? I'm so excited right now."
So she's like,
"Oh, my dreams right after now.
I want something like sweet." Like she wants like a cookie or dessert. So I was like, oh my God, Gideon's. And so we went over there. The line was so long, as usual, typical. And my sister and I are cut from the same cloth. We're like, absolutely not. Like there's no cookie worth that line.
You don't wait in the line. You get that virtual queue. And then you come back and that long line waits 3 minutes, probably.
I guess that's the line we were looking at. It was not moving. So I don't know what was going on, but we were walking by it because I was trying to point, I wanted her to see the little cute character cards.
Yeah.
So we were like nosing around people in line so that we could see it. But yeah, it didn't look expedited, but maybe it was, but we just didn't have the patience. One day. And they have cold brew that I want. So I actually was into it. I was going to go that night, but we saw the line and we were tired.
You would have had to, if you weren't like, usually my first stop when I go to Disney Springs is Gideon's to get on the virtual queue. And then like 2 hours later, they call you. Then you get in that line that you thought was long. But usually that line all the way till you're done, maybe 10 minutes tops.
Wow. Okay.
The outside and inside. Maybe.
This is an important tip. Where do you get the virtual queue?
You just have to talk to somebody at the actual place. They're usually at the end of the line or at the front, just depending where they're floating around. They're handing out those cards you're talking about, and then they could add you to the virtual queue.
Ah, okay. Gotta do it next time. We were even they were opening the door, and she was like so curious about what's in there.
It's so cute inside. It smells, nothing smells better on the entire planet besides the inside of Gideon's. That sounds really weird.
The bake shop, not the person.
Yes.
I don't know if there is a person.
No offense to any Gideon's out there.
Another thing that I brought my family to that is also your influence. Disney Character Warehouse.
Oh, so, really? Yeah.
So I almost forgot about it. I was texting you and I was like, oh which
yeah,
escape
you have a
room.
Car. It's like you have
yeah,
to
we had a car. Totally different experience. Like I lived there. We could break the bubble when we wanted and quickly come back as fast as we wanted. Our plan was to go to a couple escape rooms. And so I was asking you and there was a whole bunch that looked really cool. But then I remembered Character Warehouse and we had to pick between which one do we want to do offsite. And as soon as I told them that there's a place that's an outlet that's actually Disney with parks merchandise for cheap, like their heads exploded. We went straight there to the outlet, premium outlets. So that one, there's two locations, I think. We went to the one by the premium outlets and it was so fun. It was like Black Friday. It was like Christmas sale. And then they had so much stuff. They had stuff from 2023. They had Halloween. They had Christmas and then current merchandise as well. Or at least current that was maybe not selling. So we got a pretty good haul of stuff. I think most of our merch came from there. There is a Coco throw blanket that I had my eye on at Frontierland for a few years now. And I've only purchased the kitchen towels and the bowls, but not the throw blanket. And it showed up there and it was like $19 or something. we both got one. We brought two home. Very excited about that one. But yeah, so if you have never been to Disney Character Warehouse, you have to make a pit stop at that shop because you get a lot of good merchandise for very cheap. I got a magic band. It was a Marvel Pride Rainbow Magic Band. $9.99.
Yeah, yep.
And it's like just running around screaming the prices out loud because you're like, what?
Yeah, it's like, this cheap? Like your spirit jerseys, $17. What? Yep. I'll take them all.
Oh, it's so fun. It's such a rush. And there's stuff that I haven't seen before that for whatever reason. Like I saw there was a whole line of black and gold Jasmine and Raja apparel.
Which Whoa.
And that's a great combo. Like I love black and gold. Who doesn't like a tiger on their thing, like a tiger emblem?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And there was a beanie I almost got, but I held myself back. But it was a black beanie with a gold Raja on the front. Oh, so cool. So we had a great time there at Disney Character Warehouse. And I think what's so great that I learned about this trip is you can go to Disney World multiple times a year or once every 5 years. No matter what, there's always something to do that you haven't done. Right. And there's always going to be something that you plan to do that you didn't do that trip. Always. So I love that. I mean, it's if anything, this trip is a walking advertisement for buying Disney Vacation Club. because I had the Treehouse Villa, which is a DVC property. So it felt like I lived there. That's what they try to sell you to you. And then I felt like as someone who kept going, I had so much to do. I did not run out of things to do. And we ended up doing new things that I've never done. So I just want to go over those real quick because I couldn't believe we did so many new things. And sometimes that's the fun at the end of the trip, right? Is like sitting down and just like recapping. We're like, yeah, oh, what did we do? So new things on this one trip. Moana, Mama Melrose Restaurant, never been there. Paddlefish Seafood at Disney Springs, I had never been there. Garden Grill, brand new experience to me. Surrey biking around Saratoga Springs. I've never done that before. So fun. Also, you really have to intentionally prioritize that because a lot of stuff at the resorts you forget because you're not there all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we like had an afternoon where we're like, we are going to do this. So we did it.
Now, and we're doing it.
We're doing it right now. And then I also, on one of the nights, I drove around Fort Wilderness because I had never been there. And they let me in. I was like, hey, I'm staying at Saratoga. I just want to drive around, take a look. And they actually let me in. I was surprised. I didn't know what to expect. It's huge and it's very cool. There's like sort of, what are those? Like an RV area. There's an area with actual tents. And as it got darker, it feels like you're in the woods. It's like kind of scary, but in a cool way. Like it's as designed. So Fort Wilderness seems pretty cool. So that's an option. And I hear they're adding DVC sort of cabin-like things there as well. So there's different ways that you can now access that resort.
Very cool.
And then we had big plans that we didn't even get around to. And we were there for a whole week. So we thought because we had a car, we're going to go to the new Circle D Ranch and see the horses and say hi to the horses. Never made it. So maybe next time. We had planned on visiting Villain's Lair, which is the DVC lounge on Bay Lake Tower at Contemporary. Mm-hmm. Didn't make it to it. Although we did, I will say, kind of cheat. We used the Villain's Lair to say we were to get parking at Contemporary to walk to Magic Kingdom one of the nights. We're just visiting. And they're pretty strict. Like I had to show my ID that matched that I was a DVC member. And then we were like all scared, like walking by the parking attendant to Magic Kingdom. We're like, oh, he doesn't care. Yeah. So we didn't actually go into Villain's Lair, but we said we were at one point to get closer parking in Magic Kingdom. And then I do want to do more escape rooms down there because they seem like so immersive and there's just so many. And you got
those
me hooked
we did
on
last time were so good.
So fun. And you got me into
the... I told you about, I'm going to get you to do it. I'm just going to drug you and throw you in the car for the hour and a half long drive because they're worth it.
Oh, far. I didn't know it was far. I'll do the ones nearby for sure. But the app that you've got me into, Morty, Like all the ones I saw in the area had really great reviews, and so I was kind of fiending for an escape room, but it was okay. We had so much to do, and I was happy about the the decision to do the character warehouse if we had to choose the two, kind of keep it Disney. But yeah, I want to do some escape rooms. What else? Can I take a moment just to rant? Everything else I was talking about was great. Disney's okay. Great. Don't want to break the magic. But we are kind of critics, in a way. Critics of the parks. And
we have our moments.
We have our moments. So I have some issues. And it just relates to maintenance and just some minor annoyances. And it's just because we have such high expectations and high standards for Disney. So I'm going to start with Rise of the Resistance, which has become infamous for having a lot of maintenance issues. But at this point, I had to be glad that it was open so that we can get on it. But then once I was on it, I thought, if it's mostly broken, do I still want to be on it? So we get on to the transport. And the Ackbar guy, I don't know if that's actual Admiral Ackbar. It's a different one, same species.
It's not him.
It was closed. It just had like a big gray wall over it.
Oh, no.
So you could hear him.
Cool, because you could get so close to him.
Yep. And I went straight there so that my mom and sister could see. Nope. And then we ended up seeing nothing because the screens were around the corner. So you can only hear his storytelling through the audio, but you didn't see him. And I was like, okay, that's annoying. And then...
See, does that room still move a lot? Like, do you feel like you're going to fall? Because the one in Disneyland, barely moves anymore.
I didn't notice either way. Okay. I didn't notice either. I think I was just so upset about the thing that I wasn't paying attention. But yeah, now I can't remember if it did or not. I do always like seeing the surprise on people's faces when the same entrance door opens. And
it's
then now
so
you're
good.
On
I love
the...
when everyone faces the other way. You could tell who hasn't been here before. Yeah. Right?
And they think they're ahead of it. They're like, oh, I'm going to be next to the exit.
You know, there's another quick addition about Rise of Resistance. I just thought was so cool. And I this has happened a couple times to me, but I didn't realize it until this last trip. I got the B mode with the room with Kylo Ren where he's controlling the trackless vehicles.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And so he was broken or whatever, so he was gone. And you look out, they turn you to look through the window, and he's like in a TIE fighter, right? So, or in his ship or whatever. I can't remember what he's in. I think he's in a TIE fighter. Anyway, he's out there, and I realized, they literally repositioned the vehicles for this whole other thing. And that's pretty cool. I don't think there's any other B mode that's like that. It just, covers things up or... They have something else that shows on a screen instead. But this one, literally, the cars move differently based on how that room is going to work. And I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah. We got to give them points for that, that the B mode included
they, thought ahead. You know, instead of just whatever, we can actually change this whole positioning. And that was pretty cool. Anyway, carry on. Sorry.
That was actually, so the first and only time my sister rode Rise, it was that version. She saw the B mode of Kylo Ren. Still love the entire ride, and I didn't tell her until after, that was the B mode. Yeah. And then so today, this last week, we rode it, and I was like, hopefully you'll see the full Kylo Ren this time. And so we get on, Ackbar's broken, the gunners are still broken. I don't think they're ever going to fix that, but that's one where the cars still dance as if they're dodging the gunners. So it's kind
and they're broken
of
on both. Coasts, which I think is weird.
Yeah. I don't know. Fix that. So this is my venting and gripes. It's just like, it's maintenance. Maintenance. We give you a lot of money, just fix it. So that's annoying. And then we get to the part that usually kind of gives fear. It's kind of scary when Kylo turns around and he looks at you when he's talking to redhead guy from Harry Potter. And then that was broken. So he was just frozen, staring out into space, but yelling. It's kind of dumb. But the version of him running toward us was still working. Oh, cool. So we get that. And then we're in the room where we're trying to run from him. And then his lightsaber is not sticking out through the ceiling.
What?
It's just opening. It's just the...
Just like random burn.
Random burning through, yeah.
Weird.
So that was broken. And then we got to the Kylo scene, and that was working. So what she didn't see last time, she saw this time. So the actual Kylo force That's vehicles funny. Was working, which is a really cool effect when it's all working. Right. And the rest of the ride was great. And it was a really special ride because we were grouped with a Make-A-Wish family. And they were so sweet. And the little girl who sat next to me, you know how sometimes I'm really extra, especially on that ride. Like, I'll duck and I'll pretend I'm getting shot at. And she was going along with it. And she was, like, having so much fun. And it was so cute. And I'm so glad I got to see that through their eyes. And made me not care about all the annoying things that I was upset about. I was like, oh, they loved it. And everyone was, like, clapping. So yeah, that was a nice little touch. But come on, guys, fix your rides. Cosmic Rewind, probably one of my favorite rides. The pre-show where the false wall disappears and it looks like you're transported and the room gets larger. It was already up when we walked in. And this was both times I rode it. So I don't know if it's broken just that day or not, but it ruins the illusion because it still goes through the scene. And then to make it worse, there was a bunch of guests who just pushed through the door as soon as we got in there and skipped the show entirely. So then there was like 15 of us left in the room because my sister was like, I'm not going in there because if you looked, it was just backed up because you're not supposed to have people in there yet.
That's the whole point, yeah. Yep.
So now it was crowded all the way up to the doors, down that narrow hallway. So a bunch of us random people still listening to the pre-show. didn't like that. Didn't like that. This is a new ride. Come on. It needs to be fixed. Wow. What else? We saw Fantasmic. Love it. This is still, it still gets you. The song, the music, and the Disney World one has its own unique thing. It's a little bit different than Disneyland. Fire effects were not working. The big grand finale with the dragon. However, my question for you is, do you think it's because of Disneyland? They're like, let's just turn it off. It's not even the same animatronic at all, machine.
I wouldn't think so. Right. It's not like, no, I don't think so. Right, but do you know if that's been a thing for a while? Or was it just your showing?
I don't know. I just noticed it this time.
I don't think they would take that out because it's such a, I mean, they're not going to cut their losses for just because of out of respect or something. Like, what do you mean?
like they're scared that it could happen there or a guest might come. I have no, I was trying to give them the benefit of the doubt, but I couldn't think of any reason. It's probably just broken. It's always awkward when it's broken, but everything still has to play out. So Mickey was still like wiping it out with water, but there was nothing to put out. But it's still such a good show. It doesn't matter, whatever. But I like that part where you can feel the hot in your face. Like, it's just, that's part of the Fantasmic experience. So there was that. Tower of Terror. The screens were broken. We were going up and down the shaft. And at one point it was like, it wasn't like a window screen by any means, but it was like a broken screen, like green, like it was not the Twilight Zone spinning thing. And it's only for like a split second because you only see the normal spinning thing or a crashing window or something. But whatever it was not working. Shame. Test track. This hasn't been working for a while properly. The custom car and making sure you see the leaderboard at each stop and it tells you how you did.
Oh, yeah.
It still worked at the very end, if you want to see how your car did, but it wasn't working throughout the ride. But anyways, they're updating that pretty soon, so hopefully that's a moot point.
Yeah, they probably are like, that's broken, don't touch it, we're changing it.
fair enough and fine. I miss the pandemic. I miss the pandemic, Disney, because they are at the point now where they're literally yelling at you to be shoulder to shoulder. Like, they use those words. And I'm just like, what? Like, really? We're going to do that again? And so there were times.
A couple times in the haunted house. What?
Haunted house? What is this, Six Flags?
Oh my God. I just lost my Disneyholics card. That's it. It's over. Sorry, guys. I got to go. Just kidding.
So tell us about that haunted house.
I can't believe it. What the heck? The Haunted Mansion. They were screaming at everyone, like in a funny, you know, Haunted Mansion way to like drag your dead bodies or whatever. But they were like, keep going. Like, there was no room. Yep. And they were just smashing us in there. I was like, okay, this is definitely like worse than it was before.
Yeah. It was like that throughout the whole week. And I think you're right. I think aside from it being jarring, a jarring contrast to the COVID safety days, but it definitely feels even worse than it was pre-COVID.
Yeah.
And some of these areas, you know, I'm all about, like, if you see an open space, take it. But there are times where I could tell the family thinks it's a line, and I don't want to get in front of them, even though I'm being yelled at to fill the space. Like, it just seems like I'm cutting. And right. In that moment, I don't need to at all. And so that's awkward, because then people are giving each other looks. And if people have, like, a language barrier, it's even more confusing. Mm-hmm. So I don't appreciate that.
Especially in Disney, where there's so many more tourists, there's like just naturally lots more languages involved.
Yeah.
That really does come into play, where people can't figure out what they're even supposed to do. And then they're all yelling and it's like, ah.
Shoulder to throat. And then you throw in the like just guest manners and coughing and sneezing. It was just, it was a lot. It was a lot. So I'm glad we just kind of did half days, chilled back in the room, got ourselves back together. And then PhotoPass. Love PhotoPass. Got a lot of cool photos, but it's not worked all the time. So Cosmic Rewind tends to always give me the wrong photo of someone else. And so I did have to go to the photo place at the front of Main Street at one point, and then they found it because I had the timestamp of the wrong one. And then it happened again. We took pictures with Magician Mickey at the beginning of Main Street, and they gave us the family's pictures before us. And we knew them because it was like a cute moment. They had a little baby, so we knew exactly who they were. So if that happens, it's annoying, but go to the photo place. They will help you, especially if you have the timestamp of the wrong photo. We found it in like 30 seconds, and they were able to get it right back on my app. And that is one last tip I will leave you with for Disney World, is making a story in your mind of like the order of things. So I talked about how we did the land stuff in Epcot and it felt right. So when we did Magic Kingdom Day, we started by watching the parade from the flagpole area. We stopped there, watched the parade because it was coming. And then we went to Magician Mickey to say hi to him. And it was also our first day at Disney World when my mom and my sister got there. And so having Mickey greet us and then the parade, it just felt like, oh my God, Disney World, we're here.
This is Disney, yeah.
Yep. It was a nice way to start it. Like a personal little greeting from Mickey. It was a lovely, lovely trip.
That's awesome. Aw.
Yep, yep.
Well, I'm glad you had fun. I was pretty jealous just sitting here. Like, man, Disney World would be quite nice right now.
It was. And these are one of those trips where when you're a DVC member, sometimes you just have to throw placeholders on because it's hard to get rooms. And that's what this was. And then we ended up just going because I had the placeholder. But speaking of reserving trips, my parents are celebrating their 50th anniversary next year.
Wow.
Yep, in 2025. And she's been dropping hints for the last 10 years that she wants my sister and I to treat them to like a Viking European river cruise. But she officially changed her mind and she's like, no, I only want to do a Disney cruise for our 50th. So we're going to start figuring out what my parents might want to do. Maybe Alaska or something, but she wants it to be Disney. She's like, yeah, she said it has to be Disney. She was looking into like the Viking stuff and she's like, those people look boring. I don't want to be with them. Like retirement folks, that kind of crowd.
I love it. So, yeah. Aw, that's so cute. Well, speaking of cruises, we have one more Patreon takeover topic for today's episode. This is also from Jessica. And she's asking, as people who have gone on one or more cruises lately, what do you all think about that 9-month cruise? And what would you do to stave off madness? It reminds me of that cruise ship on WALL-E. Hilarious. Yeah, wow. So if any of you have seen this, it's definitely in my algorithm. There is a 9-month cruise that disembarked probably only like maybe 2 months ago, something like that. And they are traveling the whole world. I think it's called something. They have a name for it. Is it just like the World Tour Cruise or something like that?
Something like that.
There's a name for it, but they're traveling everywhere and going to all the cool spots over 9 entire months that you live on this cruise. So, Mike, how do you feel? Would you ever go on this cruise?
Okay, so it's called the Ultimate World Cruise.
Thank you.
It's Royal Caribbean is the carrier, the line. I would if I was retired, I think.
Yeah.
If I didn't have a job and I didn't have any obligations, if I didn't have any dogs, because I don't think you can bring your dogs. I like the idea, again, homebody, that's never home. The idea of waking up, looking outside of your stateroom veranda, and you're in a new place almost every day. Yeah. Until you traverse the entire world. Like, that's pretty cool. So from the concept aspect, I would say yes. But then, you know, we're following along these people who are on the ships and posting about it. It seems a little chaotic. What do you think?
Yeah, it's pretty messy. It's quite entertaining. If you guys don't have this in your algorithm, go look it up. If you're interested in this kind of stuff, it's kind of fun to follow along. I would also very much so in the exact same situation as you do this. In fact, there's a lot of people on this cruise that have like quit their job and like ended their lease because they're going to be gone for almost a full year. So they're like, I don't need to pay for an apartment. I'm just going to pay for this cruise. I think it was $60,000.
Wait, that's such a good way to rationalize it. So if you're renting and you no longer have to pay rent for 9 months and you're only paying the price of the cruise, it's a wash kind of.
Yep. And then literally everything you're doing,
food,
that
all
whole
of
time there, is paid for. So $60,000 to live for 9 months is actually pretty standard, I think. It might be a little high. I don't know. I think it might be normal.
It feels okay.
But then
okay,
they're traveling the world too. Yeah.
Yeah. It feels reasonable for what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So I like that you can, because, you know, traveling around the world, like let's say I wanted to fly everywhere, that would be fine. However, like airports and each time you have to repack, unpack, this is just your house is just going with you.
Yep.
The whole way. It would be so much easier. So
much easier.
I kind of love the idea of it. But yeah, like you said, there's a lot of hiccups going on and I wouldn't like any of those. So that part of it is a little catchy. For instance, they got to go to Antarctica, you guys. Antarctica.
That's pretty cool.
And the weather, whatever was going on with the water being too choppy, they could not go onto actual Antarctica, which it was part of the plan.
Wow.
You know, just like landing your feet onto a new continent is pretty cool to be able to say at least and like be able to do, but they didn't get to. So that was rough. In exchange, Royal Caribbean, which I don't even know if they had permission because it seems weird. They just like stole a giant chunk of ice off of Antarctica, put it on one of the like landings and just let people take pictures sitting on it.
Oh my gosh. Kudos to them for coming up with a creative guest service solution.
Such a bad one, though. Like,
very weird. Little did they know they like sped up global warming by accident or something.
Yeah, they just cracked the whole surface. They didn't know. They also didn't go to the where are those islands? They start with an F.
Falkland Islands.
It is Falkland. I was about to say that, but I thought it was too close to Balkan. So yes, the Falkland Islands, they did not get to disembark there either. So there's some of these like really cool exotic places that hardly anybody gets to travel to, and they are there and they don't get to actually see them. So that's a bummer. And there's a lot of like onboard drama. It's quite funny. Right. There's this woman and her husband that constantly wear pineapples, but supposedly they aren't swingers and they're just finding out about this. So like it's really funny hearing them like rant about how everybody thinks they're swingers and they're not. It's like hilarious, but like come on. They have their whole door decorated with pineapples and people keep turning them upside down. It's amazing. It's
hilarious. My god, that is such a bad oversight if they truly didn't know about
yeah,
that crazy
they don't know. I don't know.
Swingers tradition of the pineapples. Whoops.
Yep.
I also saw, or I see a lot of one of the social media influencers that I believe Royal Caribbean handpicked and put on there, which was a bad idea because if you're not a cruise person, 9 months is way too much for your first or second or even third cruise. So he doesn't seem to be happy. He keeps joking about wanting to get off at the next stop. And I'm kind of annoyed because I'm like, you should just be lucky that you got this kind of free thing.
Yeah, 9 months of your life paid for in general right. Is pretty insane.
Yeah. Hello. But yeah, I like that Jessica had mentioned in the takeover topic the Wally part because it does feel like that. I think the Wally was basically a cruise ship in space where you just sat on a chair and it took you wherever you needed to go. So it's the same thing, just missing the floating chair at this point.
Yeah. You have to actually use your legs. But other than that, everything else is pretty identical. What would you do to stave off the madness? We kind of skipped over that part.
Huh. I think I would treat it like I did when I went on the solo Disney cruise, which was not try to do everything, skip some of the very crowded things if I don't have to do it. So like some of the big theatrical shows, sort of eat at my own pace, stay in the room sometimes and enjoy, especially if you have a veranda, just enjoy, read a book, watch a movie. So yeah, I would just try to treat it as like a chill 9 month, that sounds a lot, 9 month experience, versus if I was active the whole time or treating it like a short cruise the whole time, it would be way too intense, I think. What would you do?
Well, I had some ideas, but I'm actually changing them all to kind of replicate what you were saying earlier about Disney World. I would create themed experiences. Like, ooh. I would be like, today is a day that I'm going to go to the gym and the basketball court. And then tomorrow I might see as many musical acts as I can fit in a day. Like, making, like, goals that are super attainable and not, like, you know, because like, you have 9 months. If you don't get everything done in 9 months on that cruise, then I don't know what to say. But if I would, like, plan it out so that I can make sure I see everything at least once and not overwhelm myself. Take it very slowly because you have plenty of time. And I would my biggest thing, and I don't know if this is necessarily madness, but probably would end up being madness after 9 months, I would not overeat. Not once.
Ooh.
Not once. I have 9 months to eat their food. I'm probably going to get sick of it at some point, so I might as well take it slow. Because we all know those cruises, everyone feels like crap the whole time because you're just eating so much food. So just
You're waiting for your next poop so that you can eat again. That's basically what it is. And you know what? To your point, if you chill out on the cruise food, when you go to ports, you can eat these amazing things on land.
Yeah.
In Barcelona, in Germany, all these places you're going to go, you could eat locally. How cool. Oh my gosh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be my number one.
Ooh, and you could make themes out of that too. Like, let's say we're doing, let's say the next four nights are going to be like Paris and Barcelona, then we make sure we watch National Lampoon's European Vacation the night before. Like, fun yes. stuff like that. Oh, that could be a lot of fun.
All right. And right. Have you ever done, like, a hackathon at any of your jobs?
Yes.
You've been involved in hackathon?
Where you just stay up and you do stuff all together?
I wouldn't do that necessarily, but we did a thing at my old job where we did a snackathon during the hackathon, and we had everybody create the coolest snacks they could make out of the stuff we already had in the kitchen. So I would do that at the cruise. I would, like, go to those buffets and, like, grab weird things and mesh them together that aren't put together already for me and make creative cuisines out of what we already have, because you're going to get bored of it. So, like,
ooh, I like that. I love that. I always MacGyver any breakfast items that I find to, like, make my own little breakfast sandwich or something. You could do all kinds of things with the buffet, yeah. Especially.
Totally.
Love it. Well, thank you, Jessica, our Patreon, who gave us two fun topics that fit right into today's Disney World trip recap. Everything perfect. From Epcot to what it was like staying and living at the Treehouse Villas for a year. And then we also, of course, talked about what it would be like to be on a long cruise.
Yes. So thank you all for listening. And we hope you enjoyed episode 175 of the Disneyholics Show.
Follow us on social media at The Disneyholics.
And if you'd like to get in touch with us, send us a DM on Instagram or contact us at thedisneyholics.com.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
When somebody loved me, everything was beautiful. Every hour spent together lives within my heart. She was sad. I was there to dry her tears. And when she was happy, so was I. When she loved me, through the summer and the fall, we had each other. Was all just she and I together. like it was meant to be. Remember me when somebody loved me, though I have to say goodbye. Remember me every hour spent together. Don't let it make you cry. For even if I'm far away, I'll hold each other in my arms. I'll just sing a secret song. Each like night it was meant to be. Remember me. And when she was sad, though I have to travel and dry her tears. Remember me. And when she was happy, each time so you was hear I. A sad guitar, know that I'm with you. The only way that I. Until you're in my arms again.
I really want to go to Disneyland.